Well, again, thank you for allowing Catherine and me to be with you today. It's been a real delight to be with you this morning and again this evening. I do have to acknowledge, though, that I was a little disappointed when I found out just a few moments ago that even with pastors as clever as Titus and Howe and Jason, that Swarm doesn't stand for anything. So even as Catherine and I were driving over here this morning, we prayed that we could be of service to you folks. So here you go. Students awaiting anxiously a real meal. If it fits, go ahead. If it doesn't, start complaining to Titus and Jason and Howe about it. So anyhow, again, it is our delight to be with you this evening and to be with you this day. Thank you for allowing us to be with you. I think it's a great thing that you're planning the Andrew dinner here in a handful of weeks. And I trust that you will be inspired to be good laborers in the harvest field of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the growth of his kingdom. I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles and open with me to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 22. I'm not going to take time to try to interpret the entire book of Revelation, but I'm sure that any of your three pastors would be happy to answer any questions that you have about the book in terms of how to interpret it or how to make it apply to your life. So just feel free to ask the questions that you want to ask of me, ask of them tomorrow or the next day. I understand that you had with you in your midst last week a missionary for Papua New Guinea. I'm going to share with you a little bit of the life story tonight of perhaps the greatest missionary in that area of the world. His name is, for many parts, forgotten in church history, unfortunately, as I think many of the great missionary and Christian leaders of the past have been forgotten. But his name is James Chalmers. And his life text was Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. So if you have your Bibles open, I'd like to read that verse to you. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. James Chalmers, in November 1859, was a youth, and he led a small band of kind of hooligans. They heard that there was going to be some revival services in their community, and so he decided to gather his little hooligans, if you will, and disrupt those services. There was a man that heard of their plans, and he said to him, well, before you disrupt those services, you ought to really know what they're doing. So he invited James Chalmers to come to the first worship service. And James Chalmers was walking up the steps to that worship service. He wrote these. He said, I listened while they sang, all people that on earth do dwell. And by the way, we will be singing the same song to the same tune that was sung that night in November 1859. I listened whilst they sang, all people that on earth do dwell, to the tune of Old 100th. And I thought that I'd never heard such singing before, so solemn, yet so joyful. As he heard that song being sung, as he walked up the steps, some Irish missionary was there giving the address for the evening. And his text was Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. James Chalmers was converted that night, and later in his journals, he simply wrote of that day, I was thirsty, so I came. So what I want to share with you this evening is just the idea that you must rejoice You must rejoice in the satisfaction that Jesus offers and be diligent to pass that satisfaction on to others. You must be diligent to rejoice in the satisfaction that Jesus offers and to be diligent to offer that to others. So the first thing I want you to note here is there's an invitation that's extended. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and the one who hears say, come. And that the one who is thirsty, come. The invitation is come. Jason just used that word here a few minutes ago. Probably Jesus did not use it in the tone that which Jason was making his point. Jesus is saying, come, come. It's an important word in the Bible, right? One of the invitations that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. The Puritan theologian John Owen said that God is not a barren desert. What he meant by that is that God has the ability to fill you. Your thirstiness, he has the ability to quench. Let me read you just a few verses from Isaiah chapter 55. Come, and notice the parallel to this last verse in the book of Revelation. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. The prophet Isaiah asks the question, why do you spend your money for things that do not satisfy? Why are we searching, trying to find meaning and purpose and joy and hope and peace? Why are we spending our energy, our money for those sort of things? And when it says here that we can come, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. My friends, if you do not know it already, make sure you realize this, that when Jesus satisfies, he satisfies completely. So the invitation is extended. And notice the parties that are here. The Spirit says, come. And of course, this is talking about the Holy Spirit. And this is really the basis of our salvation, right? Jesus said, no one comes to me unless the Father himself draws him. The Spirit is the one that's saying to people, come. And maybe there's some of you that have been in church all of your life, but you've never come to receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit. You know the message well, but your soul is barren. And your heart is parched because you're not rejoicing in the abundance that Jesus has for you. The Spirit says, come. The Spirit says, I will satisfy you. Jesus, in speaking of the Spirit in John chapter 7, says, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. You know the rest of the verse? If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. We would have expected Jesus to have said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and I will satisfy him, or I will quench his thirst. But that's not what Jesus says in John 7. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. You see, Jesus not only quenches us, but he allows from our inner being to flow the waters of satisfaction to other people. So you're having the Andrew dinner here soon. Do you know people that are thirsty? Do you know people that are looking for satisfaction? That are maybe spending their money, spending their effort, spending their time on things that don't satisfy? When Jesus says, come without money and without cost. When Jesus satisfies, he satisfies completely. So the Spirit of God says to people, come. And there may be people here that the Spirit of God is saying, come to me tonight. If you feel that's true of your life, please don't leave this room tonight without talking to somebody. It's a very simple thing. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, that his death on the cross paid for your sins, that his life and ministry opens up a whole new kingdom to you, a kingdom of light and peace and joy and hope? Do you believe that Jesus is the one that offers you eternal life? There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And Jesus also offers a full and satisfying life here in the present. So the Spirit says, come. The next one that we have to look at is that the Spirit says, come, and the bride says, come. The bride in the book of Revelation and in the scriptures is really the church. You are God's special possession, as we looked at a little bit this morning. You are the bride of Christ. And so the idea here is that the church is saying to people, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. So the church, when you have your Andrew dinner, you're going to be saying to people, come. I know of a church in Texas that they have all the people stand up, and they stand facing the north. I don't know which direction. I've lived in West Pennsylvania too long. I don't know which way is north or south. But let's just assume that's north. They have the people stand up, and they call to the north, say, come. And then they turn around, and they say, call to the south, people come. And then they turn to the east and the west, and they stand up calling people together. The church is to say, come. There's a man whose name I can't pronounce. I'm going to try to pronounce it. It's one of those Indian names that's got more letters than his first name that I have in my entire name, I think. But he was the archbishop of the smallest diocese in India at the outbreak of World War II. After the World War II ended, the diocese that was the smallest diocese became the largest diocese, primarily under his leadership. And one of the things that he did is that as they were, he would go into the various churches in his diocese, he would have the people put their hands on their head and then say, I'm anointed by God to be his testimony, to be his ambassador to a hurting world. And they become the largest diocese in the Anglican Church in India. The bride says, come. The church says, come. So are you planning on coming to the Andrew dinner? Let me ask you a more important question. What can you do to make the outreach efforts of this bride of Christ to be successful and to be done with excellence? The Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. And then it says that the individual says, come. It says here, and let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. The individual is to say, come. You can invite friends and relatives, neighbors, work associates to your Andrew dinner. Because you see, the individual is to say, come. If you have heard of Jesus, then you're to say, come. If Jesus has satisfied your soul, then you should say, come. Back in ancient times when They didn't have a GPS and things like that. In the desert areas of the world, they would have their caravans of camels. And many times they would get lost because of the shifting nature of the desert. And they would be running low on supplies, especially they'd be running low on water. And what they would invariably do when they realized that they were running low on water and didn't have a good prospect of getting to some sort of pool of water, they would take one of their camels, unharness it, and let it go. And then as that camel went across the sands, and as the camel got to be a fairly small item on the horizon, a person would mount his camel and follow that camel. And then when that person was a small thing on the speck of the horizon, another person would get on his camel, and they'd keep following. And then eventually that first camel that they let loose would invariably find water. And then everybody else just followed him to the water. You see, Jesus is the water of life. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus says that he who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Are there people that you can say, come? Because you see, the Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. And the individual says, come. Let me read you James Chalmers on this once again. He said this, "The nearer I get to Christ and his cross, the more do I long for direct contact with the heathen." What about you? What do you have non-Christian friends that you can say, come? The Spirit says, come. The church says, come. The individual says, come. Jesus said to his disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." We had an elder in the church that I was pastoring in Chicago for a number of years that would every once in a while come to me and say, "Is there something wrong with my following? Because I haven't had a chance to share Christ with anybody for some time." You see, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." So the invitation is extended. The next thing I want us to look at for a few moments here is that the invitation is exciting. Think of a drink of water on a cold day, I mean on a parched day. That's what it's saying here. Come, let the one who is thirsty come. Let him who desires to take of the water of life without price. Again, Isaiah 55. Why do you spend your money? It talks about here, without price. Isaiah 55 says the same thing. But why do you spend your money on that which does not satisfy? The Spirit, the bride, the individual say, come. And Jesus, of course, is referring to himself when he talks about the water of life. The woman at the well, he told her that if they would drink of the water that he would give, they would never thirst again. She didn't understand. She said, "Well, the well is deep. How can you get this water?" She didn't realize that he was the Messiah. You know the story, I think. Jesus is there talking to the woman at the well. And then isn't it interesting that it says that his disciples went to a nearby city to get supplies, and Jesus is at the well. Jesus has this conversation, not really supposed to have contact with Samaritans. Jesus has this conversation with a woman. And then after he talks with her, it says that the disciples came back. And as they were coming back, the woman goes back to the city and says to the people, "There's a man down at the well who told me everything about my life. Do you think he could be the Messiah?" The disciples were in that same city. And there's no record that any one of them ever told anybody in the city that the Messiah was at the well. No record of that. But she goes back and says to him, There's a guy who told me everything about my life. Do you think he's the Messiah? And then I like to think that perhaps as the people come rushing to the city, come rushing out to the well, and perhaps Jesus sees them on the horizon, he says to his disciples, "The harvest is, do you not say that you have 4 months until the harvest? I say to you, lift up your eyes." Maybe he saw the crowds coming over the horizon. Lift up your eyes and look upon the fields that they are white for harvest. Now is the day of salvation. The disciples apparently didn't tell a soul that the Messiah was at a well. This woman knew nothing about Jesus, except for the one conversation she had. She probably didn't know much about the Jewish law or the Jewish scriptures. And she said, I think the Messiah is at the well. And the people came in vast numbers. My friends, can you tell anybody that the Messiah is here? He's available. And he can give you the water that will allow you to never thirst again. One of the amazing things about James Chalmers' ministry was the many people that he trained to go out as missionaries all over the islands. By the way, his nickname was the Great Heart of New Guinea. You had somebody from Papua New Guinea here. James Chalmers was the first major missionary to that area of the world. And he trained many people to go out to take the message to other islands. And this event is said, there were some missionaries that were on a boat, and as they drew near to the shore, the people that were captaining the boat, the sailors there, realized that they were going to get off on this island. And they began to dissuade them. They began to tell them about the centipedes as big as your fingers, and about the serpents, and about the diseases and other dangers that were there before them on that island. And the Christian missionaries trained by James Chalmers were pondering. Then they said, wait a minute, are there people there? And the crew member said, yes, but there are horrible cannibals who will probably kill you and eat all of you. The missionary said, never mind. Wherever there are people, precious souls for whom Christ died, their missionaries must go. The Puritan James Flavel said that he who has put one soul in heaven need not fear putting the other in the grave. Come. Jesus comes. One of George Mueller's life verses was Psalm 81:10. It says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. One of our daughters loved broccoli when she was young. We would actually tell her, if you eat your dessert, we'll give you more broccoli. We actually did that to her. And I know it's strange, but you know, if there was broccoli coming, her mouth would be wide open. Anything else, you know, it wouldn't be. And the psalmist says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But you know what the next verse says? You were unwilling. You see, the water of life is offered to people. The one who can satisfy the thirsty soul is offered to people. But many people are unwilling. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Have you opened your mouth wide to Jesus? Have you experienced that water of life that comes from him? Nothing can satisfy like Jesus. Isaiah chapter 12 says that we can joyfully draw waters from the spring of salvation. You know, we don't have to manufacture joy. That's what the world tells you to do. You have to kind of manufacture it. No, we just draw it from the waters of salvation. because it's available to us in Jesus. Again, George Mueller was one time asked by, there's about 200 fairly young Christians that gathered with them, and they asked him, what was the most important thing in the Christian life? Now, in case you don't know who George Mueller was, he almost single-handedly supported missions to China from the just praying in funds that God, and God would bring the funds in. He started orphanages to care for people in Bristol, the young, they're all over the place. But he didn't start the orphanages to try to care for the poor. That was his third goal. His first goal was to give a testimony to a skeptical world that there was a God who heard and answered prayer. So he prayed for everything, for his orphanages. The first day he had prayed in bedding and silverware and plates and food. But no children showed up. He forgot to pray for children. So they began praying for children. They began coming. George Mueller also read through the Bible over 200 times in his lifetime. 80 times he read through the Bible on his knees. So when the people were asking George Mueller what was the most important thing for a Christian, you would have expected him to say something about prayer, something about the Bible. He recorded over 50,000, think about it, 50,000 specific answers to prayer in his journals. What's the most important thing about the Christian life? Probably prayer, probably faith, probably the Word of God. George Mueller said the first and primary duty to which you ought to attend every morning is to make sure that your soul is happy in the Lord. I want to ask you this evening, is your soul happy in the Lord? See, James Chalmers said that he was thirsty, so he came. Are you thirsty? And have you come? You see, you need to rejoice and experience the satisfaction that Jesus offers and be diligent to share it with others. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The one who is thirsty says, come. Will you come to Jesus? You see, nobody, nothing satisfies like Jesus. Will you come to him? Will you pour out your hearts to him? Will you come to him without money, without cost, and find rest for your souls? Again, when Jesus satisfies, he satisfies completely. Be diligent to rejoice in that satisfaction and be diligent to share with others. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the amazing thing that you satisfy. We recognize that we're basically two-legged specks of dust in your sight, yet you've promised to satisfy. God, help us to rejoice in that satisfaction that you give, to experience it, and to be diligent to share with others. We thank you, Lord. We come to you. We come to you with open mouths so that you can fill us. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.